Okay, this is Holly Hannah with the Oral History Department, Youngstown State University. Today's date is May 7th, 1997. I'm interviewing Marty Morn about women in the labor unions. How are you, Marty?
Wonderful.
Okay. I see on your personal history sheet that you were born in Honolulu. What was your childhood like?
Well, I only lived there till I was about 7 years old, so that's kind of too far back for me to remember how it was.
And then you came to Ohio?
Yes, with my mother.
Okay, and where did you settle in Ohio?
In Youngstown.
In Youngstown, mm-hmm. Okay. And where did you go to school?
Immaculate Conception.
On the East High?
Yeah, East High for my freshman year, and then we moved over to the South Side and I went to Woodrow Wilson until I graduated.
Okay, what was your childhood like?
Here?
Uh-huh.
Well, I don't know, I had a working mother, so it was kind of, wasn't really a productive childhood because she worked so much and, you know, I spent most of the time just with, you know, babysitters and family, but it wasn't really something I want to write about. Yeah.
Okay, and where did your mom work?
Well, my mom worked at Republic Rubber for several years. As a matter of fact, she was one of the first organizers with Chuck Carney down at Republic Rubber, and she used to talk about it quite a bit, you know, but then she went to St. E's. She was an elevator operator for several years, and then she went into practical nursing. She retired out of the dispensary, the clinic that they have there.
Uh-huh. Okay, and what was your high school experience like?
Fun. I mean, what else could high school be but fun?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So, and then
good old Woodrow Wilson, and we were the football champs when I was there.
So you had a good experience in high school. And I see from when you graduated in 65, and then you started working at Packard, right?
In 68.
Oh, okay. So what did you do in between
odd jobs. You know, worked St. E's at the lab. I worked Bureau of Workers' Comp as a typist. For maybe about 6 to 8 months, I worked at a credit bureau, and then I got called at Packard.
How did you go about getting hired at Packard?
Well, just like everybody else, we used to stand in line from midnight, you know, until 7 o'clock when the office opened. You go and file your, you know, application. You do it 4 or 5 times, and then, you know, you just cross your fingers and hope they called you.
Okay. And so when you were hired, were you hired full time?
Yeah. They hired full-time back then.
And what was your job?
I worked on a line, a conveyor type thing.
Uh-huh. Yeah. What did you, like?
We made the harnesses. You know, you put so many wires in a plastic connector, wrapped it with tape, put connectors on it, and clamps, and, you know, we just made wiring harnesses.
Uh-huh. Were you, I see that you were married, you're divorced, correct?
Right.
Okay. Were you, when did you get married, what year?
The first time.
Uh-huh.
Back in 69.
69?
Yeah.
Okay, so you got married shortly after you started to work?
Yeah.
Okay. And when did you start your family?
Then.
Then?
Yeah, we started.
How was it? Did you continue to work?
Yeah.
What was that like?
Well, actually, you didn't think about it. You know, because I had worked before and everything, you just never thought that it was going to be anything different.
Uh-huh.
You know, you just went to work. That's it.
And what kind of child care arrangements did you
Most
did
of my make? Mother.
Your mother helped out?
Yeah, helped out quite a bit.
Okay. I see that you're a Native American or Hawaiian,
mm-hmm.
Pacific Islander. How has being a Native American or part of a minority, you know, what has your experience been like? Have you ever been treated differently at work or?
No, because most people really, they don't know what I am. Sometimes they'll think you're Italian or Greek or a different nationality, but I've never had a negative reaction to being Hawaiian. Oh, wow, you're Hawaiian, you know, that's great. Never had a negative reaction.
Okay, let's see. We talked about your first job, okay, and how you got in there. Okay, how was it when raising your family, getting back to when your children were young, can you remember, like, what kind of struggles you had? You know, like, as far as you said your mother helped you out.
Yeah, which was kind of, didn't cause any struggles because I always knew that she would be there.
Uh-huh.
You know, that is one of the biggest problems is child care when you go to work.
Right.
You know, but being as I was lucky enough to have my mother be constantly there, and even after the divorce, I lived with her, so it was like, you know, she worked day turn, I worked afternoon turn, there was no problem. I would take my daughter to a child care center for a couple hours. Uh-huh. I would drop her off, and my mother, when she got off work, picked her up. And I mean, it kind of made it easier for me to go out and make a living because of the fact she did do that.
Okay. Don't tell the
office. My mom worked at Republic Rubber. We lived on the east side, right off Albert Street. And she left work one day, and she was telling me that she stopped and talked to an old friend of my grandfather's and grandmother's, and she was seen talking to them. Uh-huh. Because of that, they laid her off. She didn't realize till later that he was an organizer trying to get the union into Republic Rubber. Uh-huh. Well, when she finally did get back into Republic Rubber, she worked hard to get the union in there. Uh-huh. She worked with Chuck Carney, and she's mentioned other names, but right at the moment, I can't tell you.
So she was part of the organizers?
Yeah, she was part of organizing Republic Rubber, uh-huh. and very, very proud of that.
When they did organize, did she hold any positions in the union?
You know, I don't recall her saying that. Mm-hmm. I don't know if back then they did have a lot of positions like we do today.
Uh-huh.
But as long as you were active and you stood up for the rights of people, I mean, yes, you were, you know, a union activist or, you know, some sort. But, you know, talking to her, she could give you more of that information.
Uh-huh. But you think that did have an impact on you, knowing her history?
I maybe and maybe not. I'm not really sure. We never talked a whole bunch about it. But she has said, she's told me the same story several times.
Mm-hmm.
And then she had told me several times about trying to organize the nurses at St. E's, but that was kind of like a lost cause.
Right.
They really didn't want a union in there, and they didn't really realize how important it is,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
for it. Now, today they do,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Right. Probably too, with it being a Catholic hospital, they had that to...
Yeah, and then we had an aunt that was number two in command at St. Elizabeth's Hospital. So, you know, it was like the loyalty to the sister or the loyalty, you know,
right.
to the, you know, but she
yourself.
Still tried,
uh-huh.
you know, and was
uh-huh.
working with them.
But, let's see, so when you, the one question that you asked me about on the sheet, it said, how did you, what was the acceptance like in the union since you joined, right? Was that... Or why did you join the union? What was the one question?
Oh, even the first one is the word since you joined, only because we work in a closed shop,
mm-hmm.
and you automatically join.
Mm-hmm.
You can't work there if you're not a member of the union.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it's not like it's a, if I decide I want to be part of the union, I'm going to join.
Uh-huh.
You know, you're right there. The word, I think, should be active.
Uh-huh.
Before you come, you know,
uh-huh.
Since you've become active, not really joined.
Okay.
You know, because activism, we're all members, we all pay dues, but it's whether you get involved
right.
in the union
right.
movement.
Is there a lot of female participation in your union, do you think?
I think there has been. Considering the percentage, I'm not exactly sure, but I know we're over 50% of women in that particular workforce, but I don't... They have women on committees and you know, they work on various projects. It's really surprising that we don't have a lot of women elected officers.
Mm-hmm.
It seems the men all get elected.
Mm-hmm.
You know, considering
mm-hmm.
the percentage of women, you think that they would elect women.
Right.
You know,
why do you
more
think
to
that is? 'Cause do you think that women, would you say that women are the majority of employees or?
They are.
Isn't that fat? You know,
well,
I find that fascinating because
we have a lot of old school,
mm-hmm.
which men are smarter, men are breadwinners, and there are some women there who still, they don't have faith in women. They don't believe women are as smart or, not equal, but they don't think they're qualified to do the job.
Mm-hmm.
They look at them differently.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like we're a different breed, and this is really a man's job.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's changing,
mm-hmm.
but I don't think even age has anything to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
There are younger women who think that men should be running it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they don't have, like I said, faith in women.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that the union promotes, you know, women to take an active leadership role?
The union, okay,
mm-hmm.
I don't really want to address IUE. I do want to address CLU. Now, CLU is the Coalition of Labor Union Women.
Right.
And their main goal was to get women active and educated so that they can take a more active role in their unions to become officers. We've had some, I met the most dynamic women. I mean, my chin hit the ground the minute I started getting active with CLU on the national level, because I was one of those who didn't think women were that smart. And I mean, they're just, you just sit in awe of these women, their accomplishments. And we have, this organization has nurtured many women to go up the ranks in the union movement. I think last year we had the first woman secretary treasurer elected to the AFL-CIO, and she's in New Jersey. And I mean, that is quite, an accomplishment. But you have, unfortunately, we had to have a women's organization to do that. Men just don't know how to relate to women, even in today's age. There may be some, but they didn't know how to teach women how to be active in the union movement. You know, they didn't know what, we have like women's issues. It really isn't women's issues. It's women taking on an issue. You know, but they didn't understand where we were coming from, so we, they created this organization in order to help women do the things that they need to do to be active in the movement.
What are some of the issues that you've seen women take on in the union?
In the union movement? Well, we've taken on the family, medical leave, you know, we've taken on minimum wage. It's like there's a gentleman who's the president of the AFL, the NAACP in Trumbull County. And I said, I really kind of get uncomfortable with them saying it's a black issue and it's a woman's issue.
Right.
I said, it's an issue that's right for everybody, but we just happen to be the organization to take it on. You know, like child care. CLU is big time into child care. And several of the ladies out of Chicago work with Metzenbaum and trying to get a lot of the legislation with the Family and Medical Leave Act. We've been real instrumental in child care. We've been instrumental in minimum wage, comparable worth.
So your work in CLU works predominantly, I mean, it works within the union, but it also focuses on political activities outside the union, like you said, like lobbying for the union's
interests. They have done that.
Is that one of their main focuses?
Main focus. Well, they do that. We have an excellent lobbyist out of the International Labor, ILGWU, the Garment Workers Union, as a matter of fact, Evie DeBrow. And she's a vice president of CLU. She just retired, unfortunately, for us, but she's also, I have the article at home, she's going into another, but she's one of the most well-known lobbyists in Washington, and she fights for the labor movement and for what the women's issues, you know, whether, I hate to use the term, but I still use it, but she does fight for a lot of things, you know, and what a dynamic lady. She's only got this big, and up here, brilliant.
Do you think that women's activities in the union have led to, like you talked about the family leave bill, do you think that they have brought the unions to focus more on family issues?
I think in some unions, yes, they have. The Communication Workers of America, out of, there's a sister out of California, they actually got child care language in their contract. You know, and they fought for years, and they finally did get it. We don't have it in IUE that I know of, not locally. I can't address the rest of the IUE, but we don't have any language like that locally, whereas company and union would work together for some sort of child care. We've gotten about 1,800 people hired. The last administration, they worked out a program with the company, and we got 1,800 people hired. And a lot of them are childbearing age. But we also find that there's a lot of grandparents that have taken the custody of their children. So child care is still an issue there. Even though we got an older workforce, we still have an issue of child care. You know, and it's important, but we haven't done anything that I know. Years ago, they did a survey, but nothing came about that. Sorry, I'll tell you about that.
Okay.
But, I wish they would, because they said there's, and you know, even if it, if it's a union management type thing, there's a lot of office personnel that are of childbearing age also.
Right.
So I mean,
right.
It's something that's really desperately needed in there.
Right. Getting, when you touch about the childbearing age, when I was talking to someone from the UAW, there's jobs, there's specific jobs that they're forbidden to do during childbearing age at the plant. Is that so at Packard too?
You know what
I mean? I think it was like probably to do with the paints, you know, at the
Lordstown,
probably. You know, that they, for medical reasons, they don't allow the women to, you know, do certain job tasks.
I'm not familiar with that. I know when I got hired back in 68, you were required to go off at a certain time. And you were 6 months pregnant, but they only gave you 6 weeks pregnancy leave. They wouldn't let you work because of the hazards. But now, since laws have changed and different things have changed, they don't. It's not mandatory that you go off. They do caution you that if you have a job with heavy lifting and stuff, you might want to consider going on to another job. I don't know anybody who has been forced to move out of a job. And such as painting, as you said, like with the paints, most of those jobs you had to have high seniority to get into. So, I mean, you know, they were older people who were past the childbearing age.
Okay.
Yeah, but I don't know any jobs that they say you can't go into.
Right.
They do warn you about certain things. But they give you the proper equipment. You know, if you have to have breathing equipment and stuff, they give that to you to use, you know. And it's, I guess, your own common sense whether you're going to do it, you know, the right way or get off the job.
Right. Okay. Let's see. I see that you're politically active. Can you tell me how you became interested in politics?
We have the Political Action Committee, which is the political arm of our local, which I served on, good Lord, way back in, for maybe the last 16 years. And I wasn't that active until maybe 6 years ago, when I started becoming active in different campaigns. My very first big campaign that I worked on was Senator Littell's. I had done a few things here and there and gone to a few fundraisers through the committee, but never actually took part. And since I've been since I worked on Senator Littell's campaign, then I've got the opportunity to work on several judges, you know, commissioners, just helped a councilwoman. I worked with, what's his name, Buck Matheny, when he did Rob Birch's for governor campaign. I got, you know, kind of was helping him a little bit in Trumbull County, trying to get support for him, you know, because my feeling is even though he's from Mahoning County, his vote's going to represent what we're going to do in Trumbull County too, so we do need to interact.
When you get involved in these campaigns, are you getting involved, you know, personally, or are you doing it as a union representative?
Kind of both. You know, we do, what we do is we go, the AFL-CIO has endorsements. And so, you know, like there's a lot of those campaigns we go on, you know, as a union person so that we can be like we can interact between the union and that candidate, but then I won't go on to a campaign unless I personally feel that I want to support that, you know, person.
Can you work on a campaign that the union doesn't support?
If they don't endorse the other candidate, yeah, you can. You know, there's been a lot of times where they made no endorsement, so it was open. Now, the AFL-CIO actually, I talked to one of the presidents, and he said that he doesn't really like to see an endorsement in a primary because of the fact one union may like this candidate and another local may like this, and we don't want a division. So it's best let us go out and do what we want primary time, and then whoever the winner be, endorse them.
Right. Is there a lot of women involved in the political PAC? Or is it predominantly
male? It's about maybe 40% women. We don't have an extremely large committee. We have about 15. We have people that come and they don't do anything and they leave, you know. But they're not really politically active. They don't want to spend time and get involved.
And with the committees in your union, are you appointed to them, or can anyone join within the committee? Because I know, like at the UAW, they're appointed.
Yeah, you have to be appointed.
Okay, so you were appointed to the PAC committee. Okay. What other committees have you worked on?
Oh, in the past? My union involvement started way back with Gregory Whitman, and I'm trying to think of the year that he was in. You're talking 18 years ago, I can't remember, but I was appointed to the Women's Committee. And the purpose of the Women's Committee is to educate women, you know, about the union movement and to help them get more involved. And they do a lot of fundraising and a lot of, you know, cookie baking, coffee making too, you know. I mean, there's women have such a scope of things that they're really great at, so they need this committee. Same way with the Political Action Committee, I was appointed by him then. About 3 years later, I was appointed to the organizing committee. because Anita came down from our international, that we will create within each local an organizing committee. So if there's any campaigns going on in the area, they will, you know, we have people that will go and help the organizers.
Okay.
And I'll go, instead of them bringing somebody in from Washington or some, whether it's to hand out leaflets or talk to the people, you had someone there who can help you out.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and let's see. I was on the education committee. I had an opportunity for 6 months to be the chair of the education committee, and our committee felt that we wanted to educate the membership not only through classes, but we would write articles letting them know what's going on with the entire union movement. You know, we have like the Staley strike, and we had, you know, Caterpillar. We did articles, plus we have a union label. And there was like union products mm-hmm. that we could buy that people aren't aware. You know, look for this union product.
Right.
Buy them. Support union, you know, support the other unions because they can turn around and
right.
support you.
Well, I noticed in the one newsletter that I have of your union that they had on the back page what was being boycotted presently.
Mm-hmm.
Do you guys try to work out with the community to let, you know, the public know? Or do you just keep that mainly within the union?
Well, no,
you know, to get the word out to support.
Actually, that's the job of the central labor body, which is the AFL-CIO. Okay,
mm-hmm.
You have it in Mahoning County and you have it in Trumbull County. They're supposed to do that. Sometimes you just can't seem to get it out. But I think that if they set up committees and worked harder, they can get that out to the public, letting them know.
Mm-hmm.
You know what's going on, because if you're a union activist, a real union
mm-hmm.
activist, you do know what's going
mm-hmm.
on out in, like, state with Staley syrup and what's going on with the different steel mills. You do know it, but it doesn't seem to filter to the guy sitting next to you unless he's active or you happen to get into a conversation.
Mm-hmm.
The job of the AFL-CIO is to do that.
Mm-hmm.
It is to go out there not only promote the union and union services and union products, but to let you know, what companies we're boycotting and why we're boycotting.
Mm-hmm. Over, you know, your years with the union, have you seen an increase in, you know, union activity such as that, you know, to get out to you know, support the unions, or decrease?
I think there's a decrease.
Uh-huh. Do you know, I mean, what do you think in it are the causes?
I think, personally,
mm-hmm.
as like I'm with Delphi Packard,
mm-hmm.
We're all contented cows.
Mm-hmm.
We have had the, you know, a great contract, not maybe a good contract, but we've had protection. We've gotten lazy. We don't pay attention to what's going on. So we don't really have a real union feeling there because we're not fighting for anything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you go into the steel mills. To me, those are the godfathers of the union movement. They still have to fight for their rights to be union.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have to fight anymore. Mm-hmm. Not maybe we will
right.
after Sunday,
right.
but we don't really have to fight. And we have had, in the past, excellent contracts, excellent benefits, rights that people all over this country are in awe that we have certain rights.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like we have union reps that can represent you. That's their job for 8 hours.
Right.
And a steel worker, no, you got to take me down to the union hall and you got to talk to me on your own time
mm-hmm.
and on my own time.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a really important issue. You know,
mm-hmm.
people don't realize how important it is to have your rep right there when you have a problem.
Right.
But we've gotten kind of, I don't know what the right word is. We just...
Overconfident, maybe?
Overconfident. Like I said, I would think uh-huh. of us as a contented cow. We're just
right.
going to lay back and we think everything's all right, and it isn't.
Uh-huh.
You know, you have to fight daily for things. It isn't right. And I don't think they realize what could happen.
Right. You know? They're passive.
Yeah.
And when we were talking before the interview about NAFTA, my interview the other day, the woman touched on that her job went to Mexico. How is the reaction? I mean, is that a big issue out there amongst the women, you know, or amongst the union period about the jobs going? And how many people do you think have lost their job?
Well, you know, they're saying that no one has lost their jobs. But there has to be lots of people out in limbo, you know,
mm-hmm.
on layoff, because I don't know where they're putting all these bodies. He said the administration prior, there were 1,800 people, which brought up to 8,000, around 8,800 employees.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know where they all went. You know, they're taking so many jobs, putting it down. There's jobs that are slated to go in June, and you know, you're talking hundreds of people. I don't know where they're putting all these people.
Mm-hmm.
When I first got hired at in 68, foremen would fight over a square inch of floor space.
Mm-hmm.
Now the place is so wide open, and there's so much floor space, it's like, where am I? I'm not in the same place.
So you know there's bodies missing.
There's, yeah, I don't know where they're putting them. Mm-hmm. I don't know where they're at. They don't have the jobs. There was a business that came in, Beck, and it was supposed to be for 1,200 employees were going to be working in there, whether it was going to be two or three shifts. Now it wasn't that there were going to be 1,200 new bodies coming through the door, because there was one job that was going to be eliminated that had 1,100 people in it. So those, you know, that 1,100 would transfer there, those bodies, and they would need 100 people from somewhere. But with all these jobs going out, I don't know where people are.
Does the union keep you abreast of that, though? I mean...
Yeah, no. It's like, yeah, they're going out, but we don't know what's going on. See, I was more active with the last administration, and the bargaining committee kind of took on being salespeople.
Mm-hmm.
They said, you know, General Motors, you've got all these packages that you're slated to go to Alabama or to Mississippi. Let us tell you what our workforce can do. Let us do something so maybe you can bring this package in here. And that's how they got the 1,800 people.
Mm-hmm.
Because they went in and says, come on, let's look at this workforce. You've got a very qualified workforce up here that can do the job, will do the job.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to work like Mexico, the turnovers.
Right.
Supposedly awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Now bring it here because we have educated, hardworking people. And they did. They brought package after package. A month before that administration was over, they were talking about the fact that there were three packages being considered to come in, which were hundreds of jobs.
Mm-hmm.
So that if something went out, there were jobs there for people. There hasn't been anything new come in. Everything's just walking out the door, and we're kind of...
Well, they made a big deal on the news the other night about the new Corvette. Did you see that?
Mm-mm.
That's supposed to be for Delphi.
The Corvette harnesses?
No, I don't know what a harness. The electric.
Oh, a harness is the electrical system.
Okay, yeah,
in your car.
Right. Yeah, that they were supposed to get that.
Well, that
was
on
the news
great.
Last week. Yeah.
Yeah, because we've lost so many.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's awesome that the work, the jobs that are there. I mean, we actually make a complete wiring harness from
uh-huh.
scratch.
Uh-huh.
You know, we make all our wire. It's a copper thing, and it's copper that's put into a plastic coating, and we make our own terminals. We stamp them out. We put them on. I mean, it's fascinating. We make our own plastic covering, which is like I think it's a grommet or a conduit. I mean, it's fascinating what we do. The plastic parts.
Mm-hmm.
We make plastic.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, they're the largest plastic making company under one roof in the whole United States. It's just fascinating what Packard's all about. And we've got some great people that do excellent work. And like I said, we were trying to bring, you know, that bargaining committee and that administration was trying to bring
more
jobs here.
Yeah.
Trying to sell the company on this workforce. I don't know what this one's doing.
I was going to say, what happened?
New administration, new bargaining committee, and not being active with them, I don't know what they're doing.
Uh-huh. And do you think that women's participation, since there is, you know, like you said, women are almost the majority of employees out there, do you think that women are as aggressive as the men as far as the union activities, or do you think that the men are more aggressive, you know, keeping abreast on what's going on?
Well, that's kind of hard for me to
answer.
It really is kind of hard for me to answer. Aggressive?
Union participation. Okay, like if you have an even split of hirees, of employees,
yeah.
Is that represented equally in the union, or... Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
as far as participation,
activism
in the union, is there a 50-50, you know, participation in the union, male and female, like representation?
Most women are appointed to committees.
Mm-hmm.
Most men are appointed to positions.
Uh-huh.
You know, you have, I think, two insurance reps. We have insurance reps that will go and help you with your benefits.
Mm-hmm.
I think we only have two women. I could be wrong. When I left, there was only two women. The rest were all men. You got a health and safety rep who's appointed. That's a man. The alternate is a man.
Mm-hmm.
Women are seem to still be categorized. You do the
woman's
make
woman.
The coffee, bake the cookie.
Mm-hmm.
You do the reading the book, so you can do on the education committee. I think the women that are on the political action committee are there because they have the reputation of being politically active, being politically recognized. And we also have a councilwoman.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she works at with me, as a matter of fact, on Midnight Turn. She's a councilwoman, but she, and she's politically active. That's why she's there.
She's a councilwoman where?
In Warren.
In Warren.
Sixth Ward councilwoman Helen Rucker. I was at. She was supposed to fill that thing out also because I wanted her to come with me.
Well, we're supposed to collect names too. Do you think she'd be interested in an interview?
She might.
Yeah, that would be really good.
So we should
try to get her. And I lost my train of thought too.
Yeah, I go on.
That's okay. Oh, so on the bargaining committee, are there women?
No.
Have there been?
No.
Wow. See, that's the woman I interviewed. That's what she was. She's. Alternate, but on
IUE, like I said, 717, women don't believe women have enough smarts to be on the bargaining committee. Just recently, there's a lady named Joyce Thomas. She's from 722. That's IUE. They represent GE.
Mm-hmm.
She just got put on the National Bargaining Committee for GE. She's the very first woman in history.
Where's she at?
GE. Warren.
Oh.
Yeah, Local 722. Yeah. GE, and she's the very first woman that was put on that National Bargaining Committee, and I think that's an awesome accomplishment.
Right. And did CLU help her with that?
No. She kind of was just a little dynamo and started getting active and going to classes, and I mean, she's got a great personality, and I mean, she built a rapport in between the company and, you know, her as a union rep. She is the chief bargainer for 722. She's the workers' comp rep. But just like I said, I think it's been within the last 2 months that she got appointed to this position, and I think that's, like I said, really great.
Right. Gosh. Okay, I'm going to go back to questions.
No.
Let's see. Okay. Okay. How did you become an IUE delegate to the National Executive Board?
Of CLU?
Right.
Actually, I went to CLU. And I went with a friend to a meeting and was impressed. And then had the opportunity, because there was a group from the chapter going to the convention, which was in San Francisco, no, Los Angeles. I got a chance to interact with other IUE women from all over the United States and also interact with a sister named Gloria Johnson. She's out of RE International.
Mm-hmm.
And she was the head of the social action and the women's committee at the International. She kind of took me under her wing,
mm-hmm.
and she helped me along. The very next convention that I went to, she supported me running for the IUE delegate, you know, representing what we call District 7. That's
mm-hmm.
the IUE over in this area. And I was elected by IUE women from all over the United States, men and women. Man, there are men in CLU.
Oh, are there?
Oh, yeah, there are.
Is it they have one man on every CLU local? Is that
no? Yeah. Actually, all you have to do is join and become active in CLU.
Oh.
You know, there's not a number of it. You know, and two, I always felt that men should become active in CLU because a lot of them don't have any idea about how we look at things.
Right.
And once they get within a group of women and hear how these women are looking at certain issues, maybe when they come back into the local. You know, they'll be able to address things,
identify,
you know, a little differently because
right.
they'll have both sides.
Right.
Yeah, I really feel men should be active in CLU.
When you were the, what was the district encompassing? I think you said
District 7. I always do that. There are six states. I know there is Tennessee, Kentucky, Mississippi, West Virginia, Ohio, and I'm always missing one.
Maybe it's Pennsylvania?
Mm-mm. It's down within that area.
And what year was that?
That was back in 1982.
Are you still very active in CLU?
Mm-hmm.
Do you attend the national?
Yeah. Like I said, as a National Executive Board member, we have three meetings a year,
mm-hmm.
you know, like in between each convention, which is every 2 years. And we deal with you know, what's going on labor-wise, and in conjunction with each meeting, they'll have a conference. You know, we've had political conferences, we've had recruitment conferences, we have legislative conference, we have a lot of, we're big on to reproductive rights.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've had conferences on that. But still active there. There is a local chapter that there are times I can't get there because I'm gone somewhere else. You know, they hold meetings once a month.
Mm-hmm.
And
how come, I noticed that the IUE has a local chapter, I mean, is a participant in CLU, but the UAW doesn't.
You mean on the national board?
No, locally.
Oh, locally, yeah. There are. All right, the president of the local CLU chapter is out of IUE. Her name is Rose Benford. She's a retiree. The vice president is Joyce Solarski. Joyce Solarski is also the state vice president for CLU, and she's out of local 1112.
Oh, because when I asked that, the woman, she didn't think that they had one. She just must not be aware of it.
No, maybe she's not. Her name is not familiar.
Okay.
But then, I'm trying to think of who else is there from the UAW. Actually, there's a lot more UAW involved in CLU locally right now than some of the other. We've had some steel workers. We've had AFSCME, IUE.
Yeah. Do you see them accomplishing, is CLU, you know, making inroads into the, you know, I mean, like you said, the one woman was, you know, elected from, you know, the GE, the 722 representative. You said CLU helped her.
No, CLU didn't help her.
Oh, CLU didn't help her?
You know,
oh, that's right.
The AFL-CIO in New Jersey.
Oh.
That secretary treasurer, which is the second command in the state,
uh-huh.
is a woman who was very active in CLU, okay. is still very active in CLU.
So CLU is very supportive.
Oh, yeah.
And they're making a lot of inroads, do you think?
I think so, too, because we women have such a vast networking system,
mm-hmm.
you know, that whatever you need, you can get for them. Whatever support you need, they're there in CLU.
Mm-hmm.
CLU taught me sisterhood.
Mm-hmm.
It's something I never even heard of, you know, in the union movement.
Right.
But CLU taught me sisterhood. They taught me inclusion.
Mm-hmm.
Bring people in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, show them what the union movement is all about. Okay, they'll have to decide whether they want to be active in it or not. But bring them in. Give them that opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
But always support. I mean, the support and CLU for each other.
Is there a lot of participation from your local with CLU? No? Why do you think that is?
I can't speak for, you know, anyone else.
I mean,
I really can't.
But, I mean, does CLU come on, you know, come to the 717 and try to recruit?
I have in the past and gone to deaf ears.
Uh-huh.
Like you said, we've had charter members that when I joined in, I can't remember if 79 or 80. Let's say 80. We'll take it there. I joined in 1980, never saw hide nor hair of them.
Uh-huh.
Maybe they joined 10 years later for a year, never saw a hide nor hair of them again.
Uh-huh.
You know, I don't know why they didn't stay active. You know, they supposedly were active within the local, but I don't know why they didn't stay active in CLU.
And
they never fail to mention that they're a member or charter member of CLU. And a matter of fact, I don't know whether I was out of line or no, I wasn't out of line. I read several campaign literatures running for offices, and the first thing the person mentioned was the office that they were running for. They were once appointed to that office.
Uh-huh.
The second thing they mentioned was CLU.
Uh-huh.
So I cut the article out and I tacked it to a piece of paper and I said, since you found it a priority to mention that you're a member of CLU, you have not been a member since 19 whatever, I think you should find it a priority to join it.
Did you bring that out during the election?
No. To them, I had no intentions because CLU is very, very dear to my heart. Don't use it as a stepping
right.
stone. Don't abuse it.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that was just a personal thing in between me and that person.
Right.
And, you know, they hem-hawed around and some extent. I said, I don't want to hear it.
Mm-hmm.
Don't ever put CLU down.
It seemed CLU probably would not a great support of CLU, do you know what I mean, or participation of CLU, do you know what I mean, that perhaps do you think that the women don't understand the significance of Clue?
That's kind of it. They don't know what Clue is all about. If they could use Clue to get somewhere, they would do it. But they don't want to be part of it. They don't want to be active in it. You know, they just want to pay their dues and say, I'm a member of Clue.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, but I mean, it's sad because it's an awesome
right.
organization.
Yeah, how do you think Clue could get the word out better to, especially like, you know, like when I think of Packard and how many women are working there, and like you said, you know, with the jobs going to Mexico and stuff, they need more solidarity, don't you? And Clue seems to me to be a way that could help them gel together more.
It's like it depends on the person.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it depends on the person. They could be, there's one right now trying to become mm-hmm. the Hillary Clinton of the local, and all of a sudden she's decided she's going to be an advocate for Clue,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
which could destroy Clue.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and like I actually mm-hmm. have not pushed Clue in my local
mm-hmm.
because there are very few women that truly believe in the union movement, in sisterhood, in inclusion.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they won't like Clue. They don't want to be part of it. They'll pay their dues and use it as a stepping stone.
You fear a backlash against it?
Yeah, I really do. I feel a negative would arise from their activity.
Uh-huh. Okay.
The Clue is, it's still, you know, we have men who term it an auxiliary organization, you know, and it isn't, it is, but it isn't in that attitude.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have to be, you don't have to be a member. But you have to vote, you have to be a union member.
Mm-hmm.
We've got 22,000 people in Clue all over this United States.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I mean, it's not an auxiliary. It has been a support group. It has been an educational group for many, many people. You know, it mm-hmm. has done what the unions have not done, and that is educate.
Right, women.
Yeah, but they won't support it. And I mean, you practically beg them to support it. I've been very lucky. The state president of the AFL-CIO, Bill Berga, I talked with him about Clue and about when he got in office, about possibly helping me spread the word of Clue over the state of Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
Now, even though we do have a state vice president for Clue, which is Joyce, she's UAW, and UAW is not affiliated with the AFL-CIO statewide or locally. They are nationally, but not that way. So he can't work with her.
Mm-hmm.
And at the last convention, which was last year in September, he went so far as printing up a membership form. We have a membership form, but he made a fold down, and on it he put a spiel about joining Clue. He also put the resolution that the AFL-CIO has about supporting Clue, and on the inside he put the locations of all the chapters in the state of Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, everybody in Clue went nuts when they saw that. They all took one home, you know, to see if they can get their state to support it.
Mm-hmm.
But you get some support like that, and then he also had our president, Gloria Johnson, speak. She's a dynamic woman.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, he then, you know, had a little bit more supportive of Clue, but we haven't had a chance to sit down and make arrangements for me to write little articles to go into the News and Views, which is our state paper,
mm-hmm.
so that we can promote Clue more.
Okay. So do you think that your union involvement is more geared towards Clue? Do you know what I mean? Your participation
yeah.
is more focused on Clue than in your local 717?
Yeah, more so. But because of Clue, I think it allowed me to be active within my local and allowed me to bring things to, you know, the women and the local, you know, that I had gotten from Clue,
mm-hmm.
the, you know, education that I had gotten and the feeling that I have in my heart for the union movement, that came from Clue, and that made me more of a benefit to our local.
Mm-hmm. Have you run for anything in the local?
I did run one time for recording secretary, and I won that, but when I did my rebid, I lost.
How, you mean your re-election or?
Re-election, yeah.
So how long did you serve as secretary?
3 years. It's a 3-year term.
Okay. And what were your duties?
Well, you actually just took the minutes at the membership meeting. You had to, transpose them into a ledger. Plus, we have a newspaper and you have to put the minutes into the newspaper. You also have to keep attendance. A lot of positions, the elected and some appointed positions are required to attend union meetings, you know, and if you don't attend union meetings, you could be, you know, history. So part of that, and then I got a chance to interact, you know, and work on different projects because I was in the hall, you know, periodically.
And do men run for that position, or is that predominantly a female viewed?
It's woman's work.
Uh-huh. And do you feel that the union is still the good old boy network?
Absolutely. In our local, it is. I can't address any other.
Uh-huh.
But you know, maybe if it's like the garment workers, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. what they're Unite now. It used to be the ILGWU and ACT II. They merged, and now it's called Unite. Well, the majority of that is women, mm-hmm. you know, so they do have control. Mm-hmm. But our local still the good old boys society. Some of them are coming around and being more supportive of women higher up, like mm-hmm. our district president and our international president, who was out of our local. But locally, I don't see their really sincerity.
Right.
In supporting women. Women are there, but, you know, they'll let them do this and that, but they're not sincere. You only can go so far, you know. There's you'll never reach these
glass
heights.
Everyone I've talked to, there's a glass, yeah. invisible glass ceiling.
But see, the women are the one who elect these men into office,
yeah.
and they do not understand
it. I was going to say, how do you think that could change? You could change the attitudes.
Oh, Lord, we'd have to erase them all and start clean. I don't know really how to do it, because... we have had an opportunity to get women into positions, but these women don't support other women, so they don't bring them along because it's safer in that good old boys society to do what they want.
Uh-huh.
You know, they'll let me go so far.
Uh-huh.
You know, and, hey, that's okay. You know, that's all further I need to go.
Uh-huh. It's like a subservient.
Yeah, but if I decide I want to go further, I know they're going to bury me.
Like a threat.
Mm-hmm.
And you feel that the threat is more viewed by the men or by the women?
By the women.
That they're threatened by other women.
Yes, that's uh-huh. That's the biggest downfall, mm-hmm. is women, you know, against other women. I got a really good friend of mine was angry with me because I did not support a certain woman for president. You know, she was even going to go to CLU about the fact that I didn't support her.
Mm-hmm.
And I told her, I said, in the many years that that woman has been in a position of power, I said, I want you to tell me what programs are...
Oh, okay. Well, some of this I don't, you know, I don't care because they know how I feel. And let them tell me I'm lying.
Okay, let's see. That's okay. Let's see. Okay, how do your children respond to your union activity?
I tell you what, my children, I've kept them very active in my union activity. Matter of fact, my 16-year-old, when she was about 10, she found a bunch of stencils that I had, and we had a lot of old paper. I keep paper, and they use them for scrap.
Mm-hmm.
She had A, and she had apple. When she got to I, she put IUE.
Mm-hmm.
When she got to U, she put union.
Mm-hmm.
And my children have always been active. They know how I feel about things. They know when we go into a store, they look at clothes. The first thing they pick up is the label. If it's not made in the USA, they'll go, oh, no, because they know I will not buy it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But they have been active with me in a lot of my union functions.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're in the union parade. Yeah, they go with me.
And does the union support family participation? Is there an increase?
That I can't tell you. The only thing that I know that we have had in the past is a Geauga Lake Day.
Mm-hmm.
But we used to have years ago a Christmas party for the kids,
mm-hmm.
but it started to get out of hand. There were so many, and then we needed to, you know, try to figure out how to get all these people in it. That was stopped one negotiation year and has never been started again. There really aren't, that I know of at the moment, any family-oriented programs, you know, so.
Okay, and what is your job, your specific job task, you know? Is it the same as when you were hired?
Oh, no.
Okay, you want to tell me about your, you know, different jobs?
The different jobs that I had? Well, I started on a line, which every woman did.
Mm-hmm.
When you first got hired back in 1968, every woman started on a line or a woman's job aboard. You never got a man's job.
Oh, was there different?
Oh,
was
yeah.
there sexual segregation?
Yes, there was sexual segregation. Men got to work on all the machinery,
mm-hmm.
but women got to work on the line and maybe a stationary board or maybe inspection.
I think those were the three jobs we basically all came into, and there was a high percentage of women in comparison to men. When legislation came down that says you're not allowed to do this discrimination, women started going on what they called men's jobs, like these cutters that are going to Mexico. We went on there, and the men gave us a bad time. I was real lucky going into a lot of the cutter jobs because of the fact I was on the bottom of the list of seniority, so I was no threat. But women with high seniority was a threat because these men would lose their job before that woman. So they gave them a bad time and wouldn't train them. I mean, I guess I was lucky, but I guess it wasn't lucky because I was part of the discrimination in a sense.
How did the union, did that union work when there was...
I don't really know what kind of involvement, you know, how can I prove that you badmouthed
me? I mean, did they encourage, I mean, did they recognize the problem? Did women get support from the union?
As far as recognizing the problem, I don't think they were really aware of it unless it got out of hand. But I think a lot of us knew we were going to put up with it, you know, that this would happen, you know, but it didn't get really out of line. When that happened, then a lot of the men that got hired in on the jobs, the conveyors and the stationary board and inspection like we did. And over the years, you know, it kind of just died out, and it was like a job's a job. It got nothing to do with whether it's a man's job or a woman's job.
So there's no segregation?
No, there really isn't. I spent, you know, I did various jobs. I packed out, I worked on lines, I serviced. I spent 22 years down in that mold area that I spoke about, the large
plastic.
You know, the plastic mold area. They went to something which I didn't agree with, which was a 12-hour day, a mandatory 12-hour day, which as a union activist, people fought and died for an 8-hour work day.
Right, right.
You know, a mandatory 12-hour day was not. And so I left the area because I refused to work it because it would destroy my weekends.
Right.
You know, and I didn't want to have to do that. Now, if I want to work 12 hours, I want to say yes to that extra 4 hours. I don't want to be forced to. And I went to a job where I made terminals. Now I'm on the labor gang, which is a janitor, which is it's not a very high-paying job, but it is I love the job.
Have you taken pay cuts to get in the different positions?
Oh, yeah.
And
this is actually the first pay cut I've taken. Most of the time, I've gone a little bit higher. You know, because they had years ago language where 33, you went up. If you went lateral, sometimes you could be protested off the job. But usually you went up, you know, when you went there. This is the first job I took the pay cut.
Why did you opt to do that?
I was used to not being confined. I spent 22 years running a bank of 10 machines. I walked back and forth on them. I could walk off and go to the bathroom and not have to worry about things. When I came back into the other plant, North River Road, the job I had was like, I was confined in like a 6x6 square, which drove me up a wall.
Yeah.
So I was looking for a job where I can work it at my own pace, not a machine's pace, you know, and I would be able to walk away and go to the bathroom when I could and not have to, you know, get myself in trouble because I'd left my work area. And now on the job I am, I get a job assignment, I work that at my pace, and when I'm done, I'm done. You know, so I don't like the confinement. I spent too long.
How long have you been doing this?
3 years now on this one.
And is it all day shift?
No, I work midnight.
Oh, you work midnight.
Mm-hmm.
And you had to work midnight to get onto this?
No, I wanted midnight. Because as a matter of fact, to get into the classification, I had to file for any shift, which was day turn, afternoon, and midnight. I got a job offer on day turn. I immediately filed a shift preference to go on to midnight because I knew there were younger people than me on midnight.
Oh, so they'd opt to, because you had seniority.
Yeah, I had seniority, yeah, because I wanted midnight.
Why did you want midnight?
I think, for me, that's the best shift because I get active in a lot of things. You've got meetings in the morning or meetings in the afternoon or meetings in the evening. If I work day turn, I'd miss work and don't get paid. If it was the afternoon, I'd miss work and don't get paid. So this makes my whole day available to me to be active in the things I want to be active in.
When do you sleep?
You know, today, knowing I had to be here at 2 o'clock, I went home immediately and went to sleep. Now, there's times I have to be someplace at 10 o'clock. Well, when I'm done there, then I'll go home and sleep.
And how you live with your mother, you said?
No.
Oh, no?
No.
Oh, you did, though, right?
Years upon years ago, but I found my freedom. No.
But how does your family, because how your children are 14?
Right now I only have my daughter. Uh-huh. The other two are with their father.
Okay, so how does that work when you're working midnight?
Well, she either stays with her sister, or if her sister's working, my mom will babysit my two grandsons, and she'll come over my house, and mm-hmm. she'll stay with my daughter. Or there's a couple of nights that she'll go, and she's got a very good friend about two blocks up. You know, and she and I know the family, they're great people, and I have no problem with her staying there for the night.
Mm-hmm. So you've worked midnights now for 3 years?
For 6 years, actually.
Six years.
I worked three years down in the other department on midnight.
So your children were younger then? So were there nights when they had to stay by themselves and
no.
stuff? No.
No, I don't deal. I don't like that.
Uh-huh.
You know, and then since my daughter, since she's 16, they're, like if I work Friday nights, that's our Saturday, there are times she stays there, but when my other daughter gets off work, she'll come over
mm-hmm.
and stay.
So it's all
yeah, I don't particularly want them.
No. Okay. Let's see. Okay, we talked about your job. Your specific job tasks, right? Like, okay. What kind of changes have you encountered at work since you started?
Being in the union or union activist or being...
We started talking about, like you said, that for a while it got pretty hairy with the men. You know what I mean? Have women have always been at the plant?
Oh, yeah, because we were predominantly women back in 50s and 60s. There were more women there because... There were more, the type of jobs that we did were considered women's work, you know, mm-hmm. making the harnesses, putting them together and everything. They were predominantly women.
But now it's changed.
Yeah,
right?
It's changed.
But how are the changes, you know, you talk like it was because of the new hirees, they brought in men on the line, right? So
yeah.
Was it a gradual change or was there problems where there was high stress of what was going on?
Yeah, at first. At first there was a lot of high stress, there was a lot of hatred, there was a lot of... people giving people a bad time, but I think it was the individual,
mm-hmm.
you know, actually. And some men were very threatened by the fact that there was a woman doing the same thing that they were doing, and, you know, that's not how they were brought up. But today, I don't think they even look at it, mm-hmm. you know, so there's a guy coming in, so there's a gal coming in. It doesn't mm-hmm. make any difference.
Do you think during those times, do you think that the women were more, acted more sisterly or solidarity? Did women stick together or... You know, like how you said now there's a lot of, there's not solidarity amongst the female workers.
I don't think back then either because, like I said, they keep electing men,
mm-hmm.
you know, constantly, and that's all they did. And they never, it's just been, maybe within the last 10 years that women were elected as alternate reps, and now they're gone on to reps, you know,
mm-hmm.
Like the woman you spoke to, the alternate. No disrespect, that's mm-hmm. kind of the bottom of the totem pole. Because
right.
you're allowed to function when the rep's not there, but it depends on the rep whether you're allowed to do anything or not.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's just a substitute.
Right.
But in the last, we had three really great women that started it off, and they've passed on. But there are women now that are respected. And I find they look at me that way, too. They talk to me like
mm-hmm.
I know what's
mm-hmm.
going on.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, because they know of my involvement, and after talking... You know, to me for a while, they know I'm, you know, I may know something and I might be able to help them out
mm-hmm.
with something. I don't think there is a division anymore. You know, we're all just there and all.
Yeah.
Don't think the company may utilize it. You have, you know, some foremen that are favoritism to the men and let them get away with things, but that's the individual.
Mm-hmm. Do you have female foremen?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. How do the men respond to that?
Yeah, again, there's an individual, that's the individual. We had one in our area who's a great lady.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, honest, straightforward, didn't go out to screw anyone out. You know, here's what has to be done for the day. I know what the procedure is. Let's go by. I mean, great for them. Then we've got one right now that'll bone your eyes out. The people that work for you, you screw. The people that don't work for you, you kiss their butts.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but it's the individual. And there are men like that as well as women.
Right, right. Okay. What kind of female competition have you encountered within the union?
Oh, gosh. What? It's like right now, I'm not allowed to be active.
Mm-hmm.
That's the competition.
You're stifled.
Instead, you know, with Clue, like I said, they teach inclusion. It's like women should create their own security blanket, in a sense, and or like a security quilt.
Mm-hmm.
Each square represents a woman.
Mm-hmm.
and her talents and the things that she can bring to you and the union movement, you know, but this local isn't doing that. They don't want, they're afraid. If you're smarter than they are, they're afraid of you, so they'll do everything they can to push you away. Mm-hmm. Instead of realizing how important that you could be. You're only that one square, you're not the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this particular administration does not believe in utilizing talents. You know, yes people, yes, they'll take those. But like I said, I live in two different union worlds.
Mm-hmm.
You know, CLU is my dream world, and that's where there are so many women that are so supportive of you and do any, you know, they do everything they can for you, they help you out. And my local, no, they won't.
And how do you think you can change that?
Elect a new administration. you know, it seems like a losing battle right now, because they're so far gone in the way they are, I don't think they could understand my feelings or the way it should be, the inclusion, the sisterhood. But I can't say, I don't know. What I do is I just step back because they're hanging themselves left and right.
And you said the administration before was more supportive, correct?
To an extent, yeah. They were a little bit, they were not as afraid. Still, they were afraid.
Mm-hmm.
Of bringing people into the movement who would be an asset or be a little bit of a, you know, a benefit to them. This one is totally, I don't think they know what that is.
And when we were talking about CLU earlier and you said that they've sponsored you to go only twice, right?
Two National Executive Board meetings, and there was a couple of conventions that they did give some money to, one way back when. Another one, we had to beg for the money, and there were 10 women going, and they gave us $1,000, which was $100 a piece to go to a convention, because there were men who believed it's an auxiliary organization, and really it wasn't worth their time. Matter of fact, the same man that's in as the president right now, he used to debate me a half hour, 45 minutes of why do we have to send women?
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, what? I know I got a smart remark from one of our bargainers at one board meeting that said, well, you want to go to this stewards training at the University of Michigan. Why do women have to go? I said, well, maybe someday they want to grow up and be a rep. You know, that was the attitude. You fight today. Those people are in office today. They have not changed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's why there's not really real support for women.
Do you have aspirations for yourself within the union that you hope to achieve?
Not anymore right now. I may change my mind tomorrow, but no, because that local can break your heart. I have seen this. Even though I experienced it late and it didn't really ruin my whole life, but I have seen them destroy really good, sincere union people. And I don't, you know, I don't want to do it anymore. They keep saying, well, why don't you run? I said, no. I said, I'm not going to get beat up by the membership. I said, it ain't worth it. I can go about being active with the AFL-CIO, go to the different schools they have and conferences and be involved with CLU. I don't need to be destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's not why I got involved in the union movement. But I'm a little bit more active here and there in politics now than I was. I'm still a rookie there, but I know it's not, it's going from one frying pan, you know, into another, you know, skillet, but it's a new avenue and I haven't been beat up on it yet.
Do you have any the female friends that you, you know, can encourage, you know, that come to mind that you can think of that, you know, might take the forefront?
No, because they all deserted me.
Uh-huh.
When I lost my position and this new administration came in and purposely ousted me, good friends that I had brought into the union movement don't even want to talk to me anymore. And I said, shame on you, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Because is that a union thing, or do you think that's predominantly a female?
I want to say a female thing. I don't really want to say a union thing because of CLU.
Mm-hmm.
Because those women don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
They haven't ever done that, and I've been involved since 82.
Mm-hmm.
They've never done that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's. I think, here we go again, it's an individual.
Mm-hmm. Does CLU address those kind of problems, though, that you said, like, there's solidarity within CLU itself, but then when you get on the local level of the unions, which CLU is supposed to help promote, you're coming up against this type of problem situation. Is there ways that Clue is addressed?
The only thing that Clue can do is sponsor conferences and send out literature. They can't really come, they don't have any authority to come in and say, now, you know, look at here, ladies, what's wrong with you?
Mm-hmm.
You know, they don't have anything like that to do. They can only, and Clue has attracted good union women.
Mm-hmm.
I have seen some turds come in and
mm-hmm.
they're gone
mm-hmm.
because they can't function within that realm.
Mm-hmm.
They can't.
Mm-hmm.
These women in my local can't function within it.
Okay. Let's see.
Charlotte's a big man. Oh, what a dog. Where do you meet this charming lady? She's so stupid.
Nobody can hear it, though.
Is this the same person?
Yeah.
No. Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
That's amazing.
Okay, let's see. What types of problems have you encountered in trying to balance work and family responsibilities?
You know, a long time ago I probably had them, but since, you know, I've been doing it for so long, I don't really have,
mm-hmm.
you know, a whole bunch of problems.
But we talked about, you were married in 1968, was it?
69.
And that was your first marriage,
yeah.
Right? And you've been married since?
Unfortunately, and I really don't want to have to go through that.
No, I just want to know, we won't talk specifics. But what kind of support did you receive? Did you receive support from your husband?
Absolutely none. As a matter of fact, he did nothing but try to destroy. He rode on what I was involved in,
mm-hmm.
my activism, the people that I knew. As a matter of fact, in court, it was like I was a union whore. Okay, but he was the pimp,
mm-hmm.
not
mm-hmm.
the union. The
mm-hmm.
union never paid me to do anything.
Right.
He would take me into bars or restaurants, you know, we'd go there and he'd say, oh, hey, Marty, you know that guy over there, why don't you go and see if you can get me a vote? To me, he pimped me for a vote.
Well, vote for what?
Him. He tried to be active in the union, but he was worthless, and a lot of people caught on way before I did,
mm-hmm.
unfortunately,
mm-hmm.
you know.
But did he work with you at Packard?
Mm-hmm, he still works there.
How do you handle that? Do you have to encounter him?
No, I don't have to encounter him. He personally, right now, is working over at the CAC plant by the airport, and I'm on North River Road. I know he won't come around me.
I find that, like, a problem I discussed yesterday with the woman with the UAW, men and women tend to, you know, you meet and date where you're at. So do you, I mean, in like, you
I will never do that again.
Right. But, I mean, are there problems that you see in the plant, you know, like during divorces? Is there?
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah.
It
seems to be more prevalent at Packard, but the number of people that are there, it's easier to spot than in a small little place. You know, you don't see it that much. You might see one case,
mm-hmm.
and we could have 32 cases,
mm-hmm.
you know, because there's that many people.
Mm-hmm.
It can get a little uncomfortable.
Do you recall any situations or anything?
No, because like I said, I was always in one plant and he was in another plant, mm-hmm. so
but I
didn't
mean,
have to kill him.
But I mean, other women, but you know, do you know what I mean? Like different instances?
You know, right off
the hand, is that an issue that the union addresses?
Well, the union movement does address domestic violence in the workplace. As far as our local getting involved in it, we do have a human relations rep,
mm-hmm.
and usually when I get the domestic violence or the workplace violence stuff, I give it to him. How he handles it, or if he has encountered it, I don't know, because he doesn't
mm-hmm.
speak about the cases.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Have you ever witnessed any?
No, I've witnessed an ex-mother-in-law and a lady fight, but I've never witnessed any. Really, I haven't.
Uh-huh. That's surprising, considering the size.
Yeah.
Okay. How has the union helped you as a working parent, such as supporting changes of family or maternity leave?
Well, the only thing that I can say that they've helped that I know of is within the contract we have family medical leave, a little bit of language there, which goes in conjunction with the federal laws.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, they do have contract language which calls for you maybe going to another shift because of a hardship. We have decent benefits, you know, that help us out too. You know, family, you know, you have good benefits that for your whole entire family. Anything other than that?
What about education? Do they help with the children's education?
Yeah, just recently, the last national negotiations. We get tuition refund, right. We get tuition refund. There is a limit, however, but we still get tuition refund, though, not only for credited classes, but for certificate classes. In this last national negotiation, they negotiated that we can get $1,000 per year for our children.
You know, each child?
Huh?
Each child?
Each child. Huh? Yeah, it's really, I haven't got, I just got the specifics and I haven't opened up the letter because they hadn't put it all down yet. And every time I called the hall to see if the benefit rep heard anything on it, he said, not yet, but they're going to send something. And I haven't had a chance to open it up, but they do have $1,000. Up to $1,000.
That's good.
Yeah, but like with that program, there's only certain there's more than one, but there are certain colleges are not necessarily within the listing,
mm-hmm.
and they don't pay tuition. Mm-hmm. It took a long time for them to get the University of Michigan and Michigan University, you know, as an accredited school that they will pay the tuition
Jeez,
for.
When you think of all the unions
yeah.
in Michigan.
Well, it's like they might have forgot about those two and didn't put them
yeah.
on the list, you know, but most of them, it's just like we got the George Meany Institute in Maryland,
mm-hmm.
who's with labor studies. They're part of Antioch College, okay, not maybe about 8 years ago. They finally recognized Antioch College, so that now that they pay, because you can get a two-year labor study course, I don't know what, maybe it's an associate degree or something.
Mm-hmm.
You only have to spend 2 years on campus,
mm-hmm.
2 weeks on campus.
Oh.
And the rest of the time it's all homework and
right.
parts of what you do.
Mm-hmm.
But it's finally recognized so that the tuition will cover that.
That's good. How has your job duties at home affected your union participation?
It really hasn't. Like I said, midnight term, I have my whole day available to play either clean up or go to sleep or go to wherever
there
I'm
hasn't
going.
Been times when you've had to like not participate because of family crises?
Right now there is going to be, but normally no.
Mm-hmm.
Normally no.
Okay. How has being a woman affected your role in the workplace? What are the positive and negative issues?
I don't think it has anything to do with it. I really
mm-hmm.
don't. What's your role? Your job? I don't understand.
Yeah, your position, I guess.
I really don't have an answer to that one. I really don't know what you're asking here.
Okay. How has women's experience in the union changed since you've joined?
Well, I think in the last few years there are more women who want to be active, okay, than before.
Mm-hmm.
They said they just wanted to clock in, do their work, clock out, get their paycheck. There are more women who are getting more active. They want to learn a little bit more about what's going on. You know, they're
it's
trying
increased.
More. Yeah, it has increased.
Okay, how has your union encouraged political activism amongst its female members?
Within the union or outside the
Both.
Union? Both. Oh boy, there's two different answers.
Mm-hmm.
In a sense, they do have a political arm, as I said, and women are, you know, on that political arm, mostly the ones that have been active for years, and you know, that way we have a good rapport with what's going on politically within the union. I said, like, women are getting more active and they're trying, I don't know if it encourage them is the right term, but there are more women who want to be active and are running for various offices. The percentage of the success is not big,
mm-hmm.
you know, but they still are trying.
When we've talked about the PAC committee, the political arm, are women appointed to all the committees? Do you know what I mean? I might have asked this, I can't remember.
No, you didn't ask that. Yeah, they're appointed. Well, you got the Women's Committee, which is all
right.
women. You got the Education Committee, which is a mixture. I don't know what the percentage is. What else do you have? Jeez, the man.
Are there male-exclusive committees?
No, actually, we did. We got a guy appointed to the Women's Committee 1 year.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, there's not a committee that's just all male. There's at least one woman on it.
The Veterans Committee is all male. I don't know if they have ever appointed a woman to the Constitution Committee. Matter of fact, I don't believe there's a woman on the Constitution Committee. The Veterans Committee, I don't know if there's any women there. That's never been active that I know of.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they'll go to the parades and they're
mm-hmm.
they're in existence, but I don't see them.
Not much. Okay. Let's see. How has your union's attitude towards women changed since you've joined?
Well, they're allowing women to be a little more active than they were way back when.
Mm-hmm.
They really are. No, I don't want to go into that part of it. Never mind.
Okay, what kind of leadership positions have women achieved in your union?
Well, we had a woman that went, had achieved the position of vice president.
Is that Barbara Morgan?
Barbara Gleason.
Gleason, okay.
Yeah.
Because one woman mentioned, I thought she said Morgan, okay. And when was that?
Let's see, Barbara. Shoot. Maybe 6 years ago, 8 years, six, seven years ago,
mm-hmm.
she was in the position of vice president. She had done various jobs, benefit reps and the executive administrator and many things. I can't remember, a women's committee and things like that. But she went to vice president, and that was all the further she got.
Ooh, is she still around? Or?
She's gone to the company. She's got a corporation job. It's why not?
Mm-hmm.
If they're going to
yeah.
utilize her talents, why not?
Right.
I mean, why loyalty?
Mm-hmm.
Now, she had spent many years being loyal and got destroyed. Like I said, that union can break your heart. So she just walked off and went over to the corporation side.
Mm-hmm. Okay, this is a question. Have you ever been discriminated against because you were a woman? If so, in what way?
I have been discriminated against by women because I'm a woman.
Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, there was I just passed a lady in the work area one time, and I was just not too long ago, last week, I was telling a lady, I took around a petition to run for an alternate rep. The guys wanted me to do it because they knew I'd get more signatures than they did. I just wanted to open up this election.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't want the job.
Mm-hmm.
I actually got stuck because the guys all backed down, so here I am, and I didn't want the job.
Mm-hmm.
But I had a woman tell me that she wouldn't vote for me because I was pregnant. A woman. And that's the first time I think I realized the discrimination of women by women.
Yeah.
When I see her, I'm still in awe that she said that to me.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was pregnant, she would not vote for me.
I think women can be harder on women.
Oh, they're horrible. They can destroy.
Okay, let's see. If yes, have you ever encountered problems of equal work for equal pay? And how did this make you feel?
I haven't myself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the way the contract's set up, yeah, in the last 9 years. You know, there has been equal pay for equal work, but it's not like I've ever done, you know, a job and not get, because I was within the group of seniority that did get the highest amount.
But now you're saying that that's a trend, isn't it?
Unfortunately, I guess it is. That's what you got to sell to get something. You know, I'll work for $2 less if you'll guarantee my job,
mm-hmm.
you know, or if you'll give me a little bit more of a benefit.
Do you feel that that's weakening the union?
Oh, yeah, because you've got too many different structures. And it's like they're representing me more than they're representing you and more than they're representing, you know, Monica. And it's like it causes the division
mm-hmm.
in there. And people don't support you. That's another way they don't support each other. Well, you know, you're one of them seniority employees. You got all them rights. You got that big money. And I'm doing the same job and I'm getting this. It's not my fault.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it is my fault that I said yes to that to get you a job.
Right. What types of animosity?
There is, like I said, you've got a lot of these young kids. Well, when are you going to retire? Aren't you old enough to get out of here?
Mm-hmm.
You
so
know?
It's more an age division than a sexual.
Oh yeah,
division.
It's really
the money
not.
Division.
Yeah, it's a money division, really.
Mm-hmm.
You may.
Okay, let's see.
But we've always wanted the old farts to retire so we can get a better
yeah.
job. I mean, I remember being
right,
5 years seniority
right.
and saying, "When are old farts going to retire so I
right.
can move up?"
Okay, how have you or other women you've confronted or dealt with injustice that they've encountered?
Are we?
No, I wrote that one.
Oh, okay.
How have you or other women you know confronted or dealt with injustice when they've encountered it?
I can't answer anybody but me. I said, I feel there's injustice right now within my local, and my action was just to step back and watch because I knew they'd hang themselves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's been coming more and more to light that they are hanging themselves.
Okay.
But I said, fighting them is lowering yourself to their level, you know. And I do have an arrogant attitude where they just don't know where I'm, they don't know what to do when I'm around. Mm-hmm. They and I'm not the only one. There's a couple of us. We walk into a room and they're very quiet, but their mouth couldn't go on long before because of the fact they know what we're all about. They know what we have up here, what we can do, and they don't want to take us on.
Mm-hmm. And that's not just a male, that's
female. No, it's male and female, both. Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, let's see. How is your union at addressing family issues?
I think we did that one.
I think we covered that, yeah. Okay, what are some issues that you feel your union still needs to address?
Family issues.
Uh-huh.
You know, like I said before, we got a lot of people of childbearing age, and they need to have good child care, because that does affect, and mostly it's going to affect the women, because the women have to run home when there's something wrong. The men don't run home.
Right.
You know, I sound, boy, do I sound like a, you know, I'm on my bandstand against men. But no, the women are the ones who have to run home. And there are, on the other side, there are men that have gotten divorced and been awarded the custody of their children. And they need, you know, mm-hmm. Support that way also.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's see. What problems do women face in your union that men don't experience?
Women cutting their throat. Yes. I've got to go to the ladies' room on
okay.
that one.
Okay. Okay. How well do women get along with each other in your union or workplace?
Oh, I can't address that one. I don't know. I really don't know.
Uh-huh.
You know, I'm on the outside and I'm not even looking in right now, so I don't know what the relationship is with the women there. Within the union, you know, being active.
Uh-huh.
In the workplace itself, most women get along pretty well. I think they remember the days we had to fight to keep those jobs, and it just seems to be automatic that we help each other, you know.
But
we do.
Didn't you say earlier, though, that within the union there's a lot of catty?
Yeah.
Amongst the
well, you still got people on the floor too that aren't involved in the union movement that'll slit your throat in a heartbeat, but that's the individual. But we've got a lot of good people.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, they're just, even the men are willing to help, you know, when you have problems or to help you learn your job.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but there's a lot of women that help each other. I wish they were the ones that were active in the union movement, because that's the kind of women you need.
Maybe because the other ones are, that's why they're
that's why they're not, right.
Mm-hmm. Okay, what are the positive inroads that your union has made for women workers?
Well, a lot of the unions, not just mine, they've created a lot of women's departments.
Mm-hmm.
And that, I guess, is basically to do what CLU has done. How successful each union is, I'm not sure. They have accepted them more. I don't think they're looked at as not, you know, having enough smarts to be active. I only go so far. Anything specific, I can't pinpoint anything specific, but there are, you know, even the AFL-CIO right now, I believe, has a new project for women, Working Women Speak Out or something like that. I've gotten a couple pieces of literature on it, so I don't know where it's going to go. It doesn't say where it's going.
Okay, how has your union worked to educate you of your rights?
I mean, as far as contractually,
either of your within the union or within the workplace, or
mostly, you pick the brains of the reps that are around. I mean, I learned a lot from talking to a lot of the veteran reps, regardless of whether they're an alternate or rep or a zone, or even an officer or something. They don't really sponsor programs to say, okay, we'll sit down and we're going to go through the contract and we're going to tell you what your rights are. They do have informational meetings around contract, time, so that they give you an idea of what's within the contract. But as to giving you education on what all your rights are,
what about conferences?
We have District 7, which encompasses those six states, one I wish I wouldn't forget all the time.
Mm-hmm.
They have
but that's
different
clue, right?
schools. No, District 7 is IUE.
Oh, okay.
And they give you information about the various schools, that the AFL-CIO schools and Michigan schools.
Have you attended any?
Oh, gangs of them.
What do you do there?
Well, one was on steward's training. Mm-hmm. And they went in through basically how to deal with the statement of facts, finding out if it is a violation of the contract, how to deal with it, how to write up your grievances, you know, your interviews, how to go into various meetings with corporation and, or, you know, what the structure is. You have to go to the first line supervisor from then on. It'll go into a second step, which will go into your general foreman. You have to deal with it if it has to go. A lot of times, my belief is, if you know the contract, you know what the laws are, and if you're a good talker, before you have to do any paperwork, you can sit down with that first line supervisor and satisfy it. You really don't have to write a paper. A lot of people believe if you have 100 pieces of paper, you're a better rep than someone who can get the problem solved. Mm-hmm. You know, they don't teach you that. They just teach you the logistics of it. There's a lot of, they've got workers' comp school. That's an extensive school. I drop into classes periodically, but I don't know very much about it. I have been delving in the last 4 years health and safety schools. Being the type of job that I have, we work with chemicals, we work with machinery, you know, we crawl up on things, and I believe that, and we've got confined space we deal with. The company gives you informational training, mm-hmm. as far as I'm concerned. They call it training. But it's just for information. It's nothing you really can, you know, depend on if you need to save your life somehow. But the AFL-CIO that I know of has excellent health and safety training. They also work in conjunction with a hazmat training that's down in Cincinnati. That's awesome. Mm-hmm. You know, and but I mean, I, like I said, a jack of all trades. I've gone in a little bit of grievance training, a little bit of workers' comp, health and safety, political action, legal classes are boring. You can't understand labor law.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah.
Okay.
But, you know, various subjects I've gone in group.
Okay. What was the most positive experience as a woman with your union? What has been the most negative?
The most positive is my involvement with the Coalition of Labor Union Women.
Okay. The most negative?
My involvement with IUE.
Okay.
717.
Okay. What kind of union activities have you attended or participated in? Just list a couple.
Well, like I said, mostly like Women's Committee, you know, and different programs that we put on.
Come
CLUE,
on.
We have different programs that we put on. And I mean, I've been involved in a lot of things, political action-wise, and, you know, I don't know what else to get into.
How did you get involved in the union activities?
I joined CLUE.
So you weren't active in your local before
no,
CLUE?
No, knew nothing about it.
And how did you come about joining CLUE?
A friend of mine called me up. She says, Marty, I got to go to this meeting. How about coming with me? And I said, oh, Mace, I don't want to go. And she said, come on with me. So I went, and it was at my local. And I'm sitting there, and these women are talking about the union movement and getting involved. And this one lady had just come back from a conference in New York and was talking about what was going on. And I thought, oh, this is neat. So the next month, she said, you going to go with me? And I said, oh, heck yeah. You know, so I went back, and the next thing you know, it was time for convention, and I got the opportunity to go out to Los Angeles for the convention, and that's where I met a lot of the other women, plus Gloria Johnson, and then I started getting active, and I was a secretary for many years, I think 10 years, of the chapter. Then I was president for 4 years of the chapter, you know, but I mean, that was, CLUE is, to me, what gave me my love and my education of the union movement.
Uh-huh. And what kind of activities does CLUE do at your local?
Local level, it varies. You know, they get involved in, if there's a project, CLUE has a project right around Mother's Day, and it's called Working Women's Awareness Week. And what it does is try to make the public aware of all the different jobs and the different things that women have done, and they're working women, and how they, you know, like a lot of the questions that you ask about, like how do I, you know, juggle my family and my responsibilities, they, you know, they just delve into a lot of the things like that.
Okay, let's see. What union committees have you participated in? We've gone over that.
Mm-hmm.
How has the role of women changed where you've worked?
Like what? I mean, I think that's kind of like, you know, years ago we were just in certain jobs and we could only do this, and then now, you know, there's no division. Women are capable of doing any of the jobs that are in there, be it skilled trade or production.
Okay. Let's see. How does management act towards women?
You know, I don't think they treat them any differently either. I say, on an individual basis, mm-hmm. but that's the person, be it a male or a female. We're not exactly singled out. I think it contractually. because of all the protection we have within the law and our contract, mm-hmm. I think they're finally into the groove that there really is no difference. We can do anything.
Okay. What is your definition of middle or working class, and where do you fall?
That I don't understand, because I thought they were kind of about the boat, both, you know, maybe one makes $10 more than the other, but I'm the poor working class. That's where I fall.
Okay. How have you, have you ever filed any grievances? If so, what for?
Money, actually, because most of the time I can deal with the situation. Mm-hmm. If I can't, then I can get the rep to talk out a problem, mm-hmm. you know, that goes on. And then if you don't get it solved paper-wise, there's other ways you can deal with it, you know, like do this, Marty, no problem, and it doesn't get done. But most of the grievances are filed for something money. They didn't pay me, or they didn't ask me to work, and they should have. Mm-hmm. They asked 10 people to work, well, I was number one on the list, why didn't you ask me? Mm-hmm. Our contract now says that it depends on how much is involved. If it's one day, then what happens is the next time, instead of them giving me money, I just get to work. Mm-hmm. You know, that's how it goes. But most grievances, I can't. We just filed one, a group grievance, mm-hmm. on the fact that they're giving day turn project jobs, and they're allowing them to work Saturday a time and a half day, and midnight ain't allowed to do it. We're not allowed to do any. But I'm doing project jobs during the week because she refuses to let us work Saturday. So because of the imbalance on overtime, that's what we filed a grievance on.
Okay. I thought of something else. I think when that goes in and out.
No, well, I talk too much.
No.
And I go off and you're all.
No. Oh, I know. You talked about when you said, you know, about you say, yeah, I'll do it, and then you don't do it. You know, that's like, you know, like kind of rebellion.
It's subordination.
I don't consider that. I just, you know, I had a foreman, a good man. I enjoyed working with him. He'd say, Marty, I want you to do this, and you have to do that. And I'd say, no problem, Jimmy. Mm-hmm. And walk away. Mm-hmm. After about 2 years, he says, I finally figured out what no problem means. I said, what? He said, eat shit and die. And I said, you got it. You know, I mean, that's just the way. Mm-hmm. And I used to tell the general foreman, he'd say, well, you have to do this now. I said, this is my job. This is 8 hours. You want me to kick this in? No problem. What do you want me to kick out? Mm-hmm. You know, I have a job description. Mm-hmm. You know, most of us will go out mm-hmm. of our way to do things. But at this point, sometimes they'll get out of hand. Mm-hmm. And then you tell them, I have a job description. Mm-hmm. What do you want me to do?
How about... Have there ever been strikes while you were working?
We had a 1-day, 8-hour strike.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, well, I love that. It was on afternoon turn, midnight, we went all to the bar. Uh-huh. And I had to go to work the next day with a hangover.
Have there been, like, times, like right now, with you working without a contract, have there been times when the union, not the union, I should just say workers, are, you know, have are mad or angry about what's going on, disgruntled, and they show it, like, by means of production?
Like I said earlier, I don't think a lot of them realize what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
They're not taking this the threat of a strike seriously. Mm-hmm. They think they're going to come to work next mm-hmm. week, and mm-hmm. there won't be any problems. Years upon years ago, when we were all crazy, but we had good times,
mm-hmm.
yeah, there were times when there was a lot, I mean, wildcat walkouts and, you know, people banging on things, but not anymore.
You don't see sabotage of any sort?
No. Mm-hmm. Because most of the corporation would be glad for the time off, too, I think. I'm just speaking for them. How do I know? You know, I don't really know. Because one guy asked me, he said, will they stop me from coming in? I said, I doubt that. I said, we don't care if you guys come in because you don't know nothing. You know, mm-hmm. you can't run mm-hmm. these machines. You know. I said, but I'll tell you what, if you wear a t-shirt and a pair of jeans, we'll think you're one of us and we'll throw your dead butt out. But I mean, they're, you know, they mm-hmm. want out too. Mm-hmm. Because really, the company doesn't treat them first line supervisors.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they treat them like dogs. Mm-hmm. We're better off than
right,
they are.
You're union, right.
You know, and that's that. You mm-hmm. know, because they're there to earn a living too.
Mm-hmm. So you have sympathy for them?
Some of them, yes. Yeah, some of them, no.
Right.
No, but they really do bone these poor people.
Okay, let's see. What kind of activities have you engaged in to support other unions? You talked about
like
reading the labels.
I've been real, real lucky to be able to function with steelworkers, not only locally, but out of the Canton area and out of the Columbus area. There was a lady out of Canton. She's with the communication workers. She and I were at a workers' comp school in Cincinnati, and the steelworkers were trying to organize Timken's in Bucyrus.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the people were concerned because they didn't see any women. I mean, there was one woman who was the head organizer, but all they brought down was men. And a lot of the women wanted to know where the women are. Well, the steelworkers are not, they don't have a vast number of women in the steel mill. So we decided to take one day, and we ran up there, and we introduced ourselves. I'm good at talking, but I'm not good at speaking. Mm-hmm. But we introduced ourselves, and then they asked different questions, you know, about our involvement and, you know, what we felt about the union movement. And well, we did go down to Bisires, and they were really excited that we were there. They didn't realize, but I said, you're right at the start of this. You don't have to beat the door down to get into the union movement and get recognized, because they were part of it. I did work on a fundraiser for displaced persons with the steel workers out of Canton. Mm-hmm. You know, various things. You just get involved with steel workers. And
what about picket lines or?
Oh yeah. Well, I as an individual, but as a union member, when WCI was having that problem in Warren, you know, I was active with, because I know those guys. And GE always goes on a one-day strike, 24-hour strike to protest. But the last one, well, not the last one, one of them that they had, they were going off longer, protesting all these jobs going to Mexico. And quite usually you walk into a picket line, you see one, and you work, you know, you walk it. I went to Atlantic City one time. I had a meeting in Philly. We went to Atlantic City, went to Trump, you know, little bus trip over to Trump, whatever. And I don't gamble, so I put the quarters in my pocket, ate something with another lady,
Betsy Stengel.
And I walked out the door, and here they were picketing one of the casinos. Uh-huh. And so we picketed with them for 2 hours until the bus was ready to go back. You know, I mean, you could we do a lot of picketing with Clue. We'll go into a town that is having problems with something, and we just walk that picket. We go right down and picket for them.
Okay. Let's see. What are the major roadblocks that women face in your union or workplace?
Workplace, I don't know if there's any real. Because like I said, we have a contract, your job, mm-hmm. you know, you can get a job by your seniority, by, you know.
What about the union?
Union, oh, well, it depends on who's there.
Yes, we got.
Depends on who's there. that's the roadblock. It depends on who's in power and how they feel about women being involved in the union movement. We've had many that have been really supportive, and we've had some that, you know, women belong in the kitchen making cookies.
Mm-hmm. So, you see that more on the local level, though, right?
Yeah, because I'll tell you what, as you get higher, like we have the district and we have the, you're more in the public view. Mm-hmm. So you kind of got to be really careful. Even though we got publicity, there, the administration is really not in the public view, like as you go up further. Mm-hmm. So, and two, a lot of them really are starting to support women more. Mm-hmm. Because they realize what an asset they are to the union movement, the various things they can bring to it that the men haven't been able to bring to it. So I mean, even as they got, as they go higher, they are getting a little smarter. Mm-hmm. You know, and but that local level, it just depends on the union.
Okay, what are the different demands placed on women than in men in the unions? Making cookies.
Well, we got some guys that are pretty good cooks too. I tell you, we do. One guy at work, he used to feed me all the time, and I envied his culinary abilities. I don't really think there's any different demands. It's just we're only allowed to go so far, mm-hmm. you know. But as far as, I don't see how you can say there's different demands.
Okay. How do you think women can better obtain leadership roles in your union?
By inclusion, as I said, by supporting other women, by not cutting their throat. I said, you've got to get together. They got to understand you can't do it all by yourself. You need support. You need other people's talents to do things. They need to, you know, like I said, get with each other and help each other out. That's the only way they're going to achieve the leadership. And they have to be sincere. That sounds corny, but you got to be sincere about doing it. Mm-hmm. In order to, you know, you've got so many positions, not just union, but that women get into a position and that they don't do right by other women, which destroys other women's chances of advancing. Yeah, but you...
Would you feel that that's the system that's as it works today?
Which one? The one that...
That they get in and they, you know, put the screws to the fellow women to get where they're at.
A lot of them do, and that's really sad because, you know, like I said, some of them, they have a lot of good things about them, a lot of potential, but then I don't know whether it's greed they get greedy. I want to be, like I said, I want to be the Hillary Clinton of the local, and I'll slice your throat, you know. But and it's sad, because like I said, I walk from the Clue world, which these women support each other, and they help each other get the things that they need. And I open that door, and I walk into my world, and it's too different. I hate reality. Mm-hmm. As far as the union movement goes, I hate reality.
Mm-hmm. Okay, what do you think is the future for women in your union?
In my union? No, I don't even want to touch that one. No, I really can't. I can't say, because like I said, this membership, what's going on in our union now has totally confused me. It's not like what I'm used to, and I don't know how to react to it. Mm-hmm. So, but as far as other women in the union movement, like I said, we have one woman who just was a secretary treasurer, which is second in command, the AFL-CIO in New Jersey. We've got a lot of women. Gloria Johnson, the president of CLU, sits on the AFL-CIO's National Executive Board. There aren't that many women. There weren't. Now that Linda Chavez is in there, I mean, we got a lot of women
but
now.
But is that Chavez the one
Tom's,
from...
Tom, yeah, she's the author. Shoot, what's the title? Linda Chavez Thompson. She's one of the... I met her. What a dynamic lady. Oh, geez.
She's always an Army Union disorder.
Yeah. I can't remember her title.
Dad, right? Is that the one I'm thinking of?
What?
Her husband was with the Farm Union.
Oh, you're thinking of Cesar Chavez.
That is, she's
Cesar
no relation.
Chavez. She could be. I have no idea. I believe she's out of... No, Dolores Root is a farm worker. She's another dynamic farm worker. We got so many women that have achieved so much, you know, in the labor movement. And they have, you know, like Gloria. Gloria is well respected all over the world. She was at the Beijing conference. I mean, what a dynamic speaker. Mm-hmm. And I mean, this woman, I have always been in awe of her and very grateful that she took me under her arm. And, you know, there was a time I picked her up in an airport at 1 o'clock. On 2 o'clock, we're on the road down to the meeting place. She has a speech at 6 o'clock, ain't written it yet. Did an awesome speech on human rights globally. Mm-hmm. And I thought, oh God, I wish I had a mind like that. Mm-hmm. I'd love to sit in her pocket for 30 days. Mm-hmm. She has taught me a lot of the finesse, believe it or not. Mm-hmm. I have finesse compared to what I used to. But she did. She has taught me patience. She's taught me the love for the union movement. I said, she has guided me, and I am eternally grateful. But I mean, there's some great women.
What do you see your future with CLU?
I don't know. I'm very happy where I am because I sit on the board. I'm very active.
Do you have higher aspirations?
Oh, you mean an officer position? Mm-hmm. No, I don't want to speak. He said, I'm a talker. I'm not a speaker. Mm-hmm. And a lot of them are speakers, really great speakers. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe if I have some spare time, I'll go and learn how to be a speaker, but I don't want to do that. No, I really enjoy being what I am on the board, functioning within the committees and...
Okay. Let's see. Is there any other topics that you want to discuss to do with the union or CLU?
God, not at the moment.
Okay.
I got a meeting at 7 o'clock in Warren.
Okay. Okay.
Warren City Dems. Whoops.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Oh. Okay. Well.